I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff, the podcast that celebrates those who live, love, and breathe rock and roll.
From the incredible groupies, girlfriends, and wives who went after what and who they wanted,
to the journalists, photographers, and other behind-the-scenes characters who play such an important part in rock and roll history.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. How do you pronounce your last name?
Oh my God, it's going to be difficult for you.
Okay, well then you can say your name. So we are sitting here with...
Jesper Skibsby.
And you are the creator of the company Warm.
Yes, true.
W-A-R-M, welcome. And welcome to our podcast, Muses and Stuff. And we're really looking forward to asking you a couple questions.
Looking forward to it?
You're in the hot seat.
Yes.
No, it's not
yet
hot.
Comfortable.
Comfortable, cushy, in the nice lounge upstairs at Canadian Music Week. You want to start, Lynxie?
Sure, yeah. So for listeners who haven't yet heard of Warm, could you explain what it is and why you created it?
Yes, well, Warm is a platform where everyone can track and monitor any song on radio stations globally. And the idea basically came out of my own frustration. I was a manager and running a couple of labels, and one of my bands had some airplay action in a radio station in Warsaw, and even we were a band based in Denmark. Mm-hmm. So from there, I was just like, well, it would be really nice if I could know in real time whenever it's being played, because let's say, you know, there's another radio station in Ukraine or another station in Berlin or another station in Brazil or something.
Yeah.
I would like to know that in real time to do, you know, marketing efforts and promote the band more focused around where there are emerging markets.
Makes perfect sense to me. Yeah.
Makes perfect sense to me. So bands can find out in real time when their songs, how? How do they find that out? Go on the site. So you've only officially launched a year ago and have already made huge progress. How many radio stations and countries does the site monitor?
Well, at the moment we monitor 25,000 radio stations in 130 countries.
That's remarkable. That's amazing.
Yes, I think so too. We have added about 8,000 stations the last 12 months. And we expect that that there are approximately 45,000 stations in total globally. So, all about tracking them down. The last
just
ones
keeps growing, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
What do you think about Toronto so far?
I love it.
Yeah, because your first time.
Yes.
First time here. You gonna come back?
Definitely. I just found out yesterday that this is where Niagara Falls are. So.
Hours away.
Yes, yeah. I'm a little sad that I didn't make it, but I'll try and do it next time.
We'll come with you. I haven't been in years.
Great.
Why is it's your turn? I stole from you. Why is it so beneficial for emerging artists to track their airplay?
Well, I think it's like, you know, my thoughts on the industry today is that there are so many artists out there, and there's like, just got a new number from a guy I met yesterday. He said that there's like 50,000 new songs added on to Spotify weekly. That being said, there's a lot of competition. It's easier to create music, it's easier to release it. So I think we're in an era where creators in the emerging space, they have to take responsibility of their own data and understanding it and mm-hmm. and you know, try and get the most out of you know, what they can learn from their markets and audience. So I think that you know, tracking your radio airplays are, you know, equally important to understanding your social medias and geographic local where they are geographically local. As well as your, you know, streaming platforms and other data sources. So like, the more you can get, the better decisions you
yeah,
you
find your audience. Where
yeah.
Where are people loving your music? And
yeah, and I think that's kind of the key here, because I think the industry has changed a bit now that there are so many emerging artists. It's more about finding out where your fan base are rather than just saying I need to do some remarkable stuff in my home territory or home country yeah. or city before we can do anything else. I think that's kind of like a major way of thinking about the industry, and I'm not so sure that that's the same for independents nowadays.
Interesting. So what have been some of your biggest challenges during the creation and the biggest rewards that have come your way so far in this whole process?
My biggest creations and rewards.
Challenges and rewards. From
I
creating.
Think that we have one huge challenge that we still face, and that's an educational question. So it's about, you know, creators understanding that they need to get their data and they need to understand it and they need to understand how to use it and what to look for. Because if you're, you know, a music creator or an artist, you're not necessarily interested in, you know, looking at figures and data. Mm. But I think it's like you have to look at both sides.
There's a business side to it as well. Yeah. It's important to success.
Exactly. So and that business side is not necessarily interesting for creators in general. So I think that we have a very big challenge in terms of the educational question, that people understand, you know, who is tracking your radio airplays, how does the industry works, who, you know, that the industry in many cases are based on, you know, entities or music, you know, organizations or whatever, reporting to each other rather than actually monitoring. And when people are monitoring or controlling, it's often in, you know, very specific areas or countries, or for that matter. So I think we need to see data again as a whole, and something that I want to know where it's being broadcasted anywhere in the world, so I can make the best decisions. But people need to learn that, you know, and understand how to use the data from before they can get something out of it.
It's great for like indie bands and things like that who don't have like huge management companies exactly. doing those things for them. They can just go to the site now and kind of do it for themselves.
Exactly. And hopefully we can, you know, continue developing the platform and new features, so we can go to from just being a monitoring platform to more of a recommendation platform.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can integrate AI, genre detection, and various other technologies, so we can help artists understand where they should use your time most yeah. wisely.
That's really smart.
Hopefully.
Wow. Yeah. So for our listeners who are just like have their earbuds in, they may be detecting an accent in your voice. So can you tell them where you're from and what kind of music scene we might find there if we want to go and visit?
I'm from Denmark, and our office is based in Copenhagen. I think that the music scene in Denmark is very spread as anywhere else probably, but I think the electronic music scene is going pretty well, and then we have some pretty good new bands and acts who are doing great outside, like Lucas Graham or Mø, and so I think it's a thriving music industry in Denmark, but it's a small country, so.
Well, that's good to know. I would be curious. You never know when you travel and what you're gonna find. So, like a mix between the small venues and then bigger ones. So, like you know, you have your tiers of the new bands can start off here and they can work their way up, and then yeah, do a lot of your musicians tour outside of Denmark.
Yes, quite a few actually, and as mentioned again, I think we have some pretty cool electronic musician, both in techno and you know underground scene, who is doing very well outside Denmark, and I think that's fantastic because it's been quite difficult, I think, for quite a while for the electronic music scene in Denmark to kind of breakthrough outside Denmark, and so I like techno and stuff. So,
as Worm continues to grow, how do you think it will affect the music industry as a whole?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think it will take some time before it will affect, like you know, the industry as a whole. But hopefully, we can, you know, be the ones who are part of taking the first steps to a more transparent and democratic music industry. I think that especially radio have been, you know, an area where very big entities have decided what is important to know and what is irrelevant. And I think what have been determined as irrelevant is maybe not irrelevant to everyone. So I think that, or I hope at least, that eventually data collection content recognition and audio fingerprint as a whole will be used for lots of other stuff. For example, collecting of rights in a broader scale, because obviously it's a technology that's already been used, but it's just been used very local.
Yeah.
And for example, if I'm part of a PRO in Denmark, and you know, I as a creator found out that I had, you know, a lot of airplays in Turkey, I would want my collection site to try and actually see if there's something that I should was entitled to. But if they don't know, and they don't know because they aren't using anything outside their own territory, then you will never know, right?
Yeah, this could make a huge difference in things like royalties and stuff for bands.
So, in other words, I hope that, you know, the industry and especially the independents will start using it, get familiar with a new data set and what they can use for it. We can continuously develop on it. And hopefully in the end, you know, many people would start raising some questions to rights organizations, like, why am I not receiving money from my 3,000 airplays on Radio Istanbul or whatever it was. So I think it's like a short-term strategy where it's, you know, all about the data and everything is in real time. You can use that for marketing purposes, booking, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And hopefully in a longer strategy, collection societies and the very big music entities will start using it, or maybe will have to use it, I don't know.
So for any artists or bands right now who will be listening to this, who are curious, what are the steps that they need to take to get themselves on Warm?
Luckily it's very easy. First and foremost, anyone can go and try it for free. So the first song is free for a month, and you can see if, you know, you could get surprised and if you should continue. But it's very simple. Like, we have a database now consisting of, I think it's 27 million songs or something, so you can go and search and find your song. If it's not there, you can just upload it directly
and
with an MP3.
You can look up any song that's up there?
So if a song is not in the database, for whatever reasons, you can just upload it directly. There is something interesting here, because there's no legal issues in terms of who is looking at what.
Yeah.
So you can monitor any song you like, the same for everyone else.
It's really interesting.
So a small hack could, for example, be if you are a rock band here in Toronto and you wanted to learn what radio stations outside of Canada would be potential to play your music. Then you could monitor a similar rock band, maybe a bigger one, and you could basically see all the radio stations playing their music.
Yeah, bands that are similar sounding. Where's that band getting an audience?
Exactly.
Maybe I should try that.
What an inspired thought. That's good. Speaking of Toronto rock bands, have you had a chance to check out any of the music this week, or have you been just too busy speaking? And
to be honest,
I know sometimes Music Week isn't always about the music. Sometimes it's just about meeting and talking.
I would love that I had like a fantastic answer to that, but to be honest, I didn't really listen to any music other than yesterday. So we went to hear this brass band. It was a brass band.
Interesting.
With a rap and a little bit of hip hop, and it was really cool, very refreshing.
Yeah, it sounds original.
Very unique.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it.
Yeah. Good.
It's been a little bit difficult to figure out where to begin, because it's just like thousands of bands, and I don't know.
You probably are always busy running around different places.
Yeah, it's, you know, you spend maybe 10 hours during the day walking around in a hotel talking with people, and then you come home to the hotel and you get something to eat, and then you never came out.
So when you're not doing this, when you're at home and you actually have a time to like breathe and relax, what do you like to do?
Well, I like to go to concerts, listen to music. I'm very interested in what happens in the music tech scene in general. I'm a little bit geeky in that area, so I've tried to keep up with what's going on in the industry as a whole, and I'm sorry, I'm pretty geeky about that. I'm just really focused around the business, and then I have a daughter, and that's about it.
That's lovely.
We're geeky about music too.
Yeah.
We have a podcast, so yeah.
That's true. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to sit with us and explain everything about Warm. Actually, I am wondering, maybe one last question before I let you go. What's the significance with the name Warm?
Actually, it was you know, was, you know, when we were about to figure out what this was, what the name should be, I was like looking at different words, and it had to be something with radio and tracking or monitoring or something. And there's another company called Radio Monitor, so that was not so good. And it was something with world, and somehow I just ended up with this World Airplay Radio Monitor, and I could see that that was probably a little bit too long.
Yeah.
And somehow I managed to get that to be warm, and I think maybe it's the correct pronunciation would have been World Radio Airplay Monitor or something like that, but it had to work.
No, couldn't it works.
It couldn't be rum. So, yeah, it was like just a name until we came up with something better.
Yeah.
But I never came up with something better.
It stuck.
Yes, it stuck.
Where do you see this going in the next couple of years? How do you want to continue to grow?
Well, my passion is simply just to create something that is useful for a lot of people and not necessarily only, you know, certain parts of the industry.
Yeah.
I'm very focused around trying to make something that is useful and easy to, you know, handle and use, and that we can build, you know, recommendations on top of monitoring. So, for example, one of the next things that we want to do is or we're going to start off building, it will be a machine that can curate music to radio stations based on genre detection, song profiling, and AI. So, in general, if you have a rock song here, and back to the talk with what radios you should try and aim for, if the machine could say, like, you know, there's 1500 radio stations globally, and you can send it all to the radio stations directly here, and then maybe, okay, but I don't, that's too much, I don't know, let's say it's €1 per station or whatever, then you could maybe, you know, scale it down, saying, okay, let me try and aim for North American rock stations, and then there's maybe 500 or so. The idea is to again try and make products and services that works for as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And that can be a little tricky because, you know, publishers is basically not that interested in real-time data. They're more interested in historical data, whereas, you know, PR agencies are very much interested in the 2 or 3 month campaign real-time data and not so much historical data. And the same with managers and labels. And so we're just seeing now that there's a lot of different users using WARM, and it's a little challenging to try and make something that works for everyone because people use the data differently.
Yeah. Well, it's a great start. And like, my goodness, yeah.
We've learned a lot, so thank you, and I hope, and I know that people will definitely get something out of this, and we look forward to watching how this grows and develops. And hope you don't mind that we will look you up when we are in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Please do. And actually, we're going to launch a new radio chart soon. So there will be a college radio chart in Canada and a college radio chart in the US as well.
That's so amazing.
So maybe that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah,
maybe awesome. We can make a rock chart in Canada or something.
We're in.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jesper.
Thank you, guys.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.